Lloyd County, Amherst, Amherst, can you take things with him at the same time? Because he's not me. You do that. Me and Ann, we're going to carry not an item. Maybe we should. Let's start the hospital.
Start your date the 2 weeks that we saw me, Adler.
Right, good morning. Parshat Shlach Lecha. Right, Parshat Shlach Lecha, very there's, I think, very famously, at the beginning of Parshat Shlach Lecha, the machlokes in what the actual chait of the meraglim was. I think we've all seen it through before. Maybe go through just very, very briefly, and then move on from there. There is probably the most well-known Rashi, the first Rashi, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, really the second Rashi, Shlach Lecha Ledaatcha, Ein Ani Metzava Lecha, Ve'im Tirtzeh Shlach. Rashi says that Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said they want to send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was nimlach b'shchina. Omar ani amarti lahem sheitoy v'agosh baruch Hu said, I've told Klal Yisrael already that the land is a very good place. Shenema ale ela eschem me'anim mitzrayim. Chayim shani noisen hem mokim litois b'divri Meraglim. HaGosh Baruch Hu, the man lo yirashuna, HaGosh Baruch Hu says, lo yirashu, HaGosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to, if they aren't prepared to trust me, I've told them it's good. They're not prepared to trust me that it's good. They can go, but ledat cha, and chayechem is going to be. There's going to be a toss that's going to come from this. So they asked first. Moshe Rabbeinu was nimlach b'shchina, and they were given permission to do it, but at your own peril. The Ramban asks a few kashas on Rashi. The Ramban says, number one, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the land is Toiva, then how could Moshe Rabbeinu even tell them to look at the land? If Moshe Rabbeinu is asking that same question, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said the land is good, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Toiva hi imra, he's making the same mistake as the Meraglim. That's the first kash to Ramban. Now says Ramban, don't tell me that the Avera that they made was that they said Efeski Aza Am or Eretz Echeles Yishveh. That can't be the reason, because already before they said that, Kalev and Yeshua were already arguing with them, already trying to shut them down and prevent them from saying bring it be Moti Dibra'ah Yisrael. So says Ramban, that can't be the reason why Klal Yisrael. That can't be the reason why. Sorry, the Meraglim were considered to have made a mistake. Va'id says Ramban that Moshe Rabbeinu himself in Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says that Klal Yisrael are going to Mitzrayim. He says that you're going to a place which is incredibly dangerous. Shema Yisrael atoiva yemes ayadein love and reshes goyim gedolim batzumim meka orim gedolim butzurois. Moshe Rabbeinu said this before they went into Eretz Yisrael. So they haven't said anything worse than Moshe Rabbeinu was saying them in Devarim. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was exactly the same. You're going to a place where they are stronger than you. It's a very ominous place. The people there, the cities, it's very strong, very dangerous. So it can't be the Meraglim did something wrong by sharing that information. Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it later on. The Ramban also asks that, okay, if it is something wrong, what's he going to do? Was Moshe Rabbeinu planning on bringing them back to Mitzrayim? Was it even a havmit that we're going to cancel the trip? We're going to go back to Mitzrayim. I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the whole shlichus over here seems to be superfluous. And definitely the way Moshe Rabbeinu was asking it, he's saying, go and check it out. See what it is. See how dangerous it is. And if it is dangerous, what's the response going to be? So he's going to say, we're going to go anyway. If we're going to go anyway, there's no point sending them. So what was the plan? Says the Ramban like this. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send Klal Yisrael. And send from Klal Yisrael, wanted to send Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael, which is a very simple strategy which is undertaken normally by any country that are going to invade another country, going to conquer another land. It's sensible to go ahead and find out where their weak points are. See what you can do to be able to catch them by surprise. See where the easiest conquest is going to be. Is it going to be from the south? Is it going to be from the north? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send Meraglim for simple reason. He wanted to send them because it made sense to send the Klal Yisrael's request, I should say, made sense. It's a normal thing to go ahead and look. Don't rely on an ace. Don't rely on 100% ace. Go and look to see where the weak points in Eretz Yisrael are going to be. And really, Moshe Rabbeinu was not nimlach with Ribbono Shel Olam, says Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Klal Yisrael want to send, what should I do? What happened was there were two completely separate things. Number one, Klal Yisrael said they want to send Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to that because why shouldn't we send? It's a normal thing. Why rely on an ace? Do normal ishtadlus. Now, separate to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave a shlichus to Moshe Rabbeinu, shlach lecha anashim. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan that was different to Klal Yisrael's plan? The lashon that's used, the v'yosuru of Eretz Kanaan, says Ramban, when you go to buy something new, you go to buy a new property, some new land, what you do is you go and you view it. And you can view it for a few reasons. You view it to try and view it critically and see where the problems are and drive down the price. But you also go to view a land just to go and see, because I want to go and see the neches that I'm buying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to send someone ahead to go and look at the land in order they should be excited. The Lashon Ramban is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to go besimcha, to see the land ahead and be excited about going there with this land, which is the yofi of all other arotzeis. And Klal Yisrael, when they're going there to conquer the umos that are living there, they should be going there with a confidence and a simcha. Look at the incredible gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. If that's the case, then there's no problem to send them. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to send these anoshim, shleimim, send people, don't send regular meraglim, send people a representative of each of the shavotim, nesiim, in order that no takala should come from this trip, that it should remain 100% a positive trip. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, shlach lecha, this was a tzivui to Moshe Rabbeinu, to be careful to send from you, a Klal Yisrael representative of the entire Klal Yisrael. Send from every Shevet, send the Nesiim, then you've got a safe deal. In Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Techocha to Klal Yisrael. Over there, the taina Moshe Rabbeinu's got to Klal Yisrael is that you asked me to send, but you asked me to send for a different reason. You asked me to send because you were worried about what the land was going to be like. You didn't trust Ribbono Shel Olam. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the miraculous to Klal Yisrael, his plan was regular shadows. Taka, go and see what it's like. But aluzev anegev, go and see, is it kedai to go up from the negev, which where is the easiest place for us to enter in order that we could have an easy time conquering the land, a very legitimate reason to go. It was only Klal Yisrael's original request where they wanted to send because they didn't have the same faith in Ribbono Shel Olam. That is where the problem was. So what did the Meraglim do wrong? They were sent in good faith. They were sent on a credible mission. And to be fair, when they came back and they said a report. They literally answered everything Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to do. He said, check this out. They came back and they gave a report on exactly what he said to check. So what did the Meraglim do wrong? So the truth is, the mistake the Meraglim made was they were supposed to bring back the information that Moshe Rabbeinu requested from them to bring back. But they weren't supposed to pass judgment on the capacity of Klal Yisrael to be able to conquer Yisrael in view of what they have seen. They weren't supposed to come and give a very depressing report to Klal Yisrael saying that everything is hopeless, there's no way we can ever do this. They had no right to tell Klal Yisrael that it's too much for us. They could say, this is what it is. And this is what we need to do. And you guys, you see from the response of Yeshua and Kalev, we'll look at in a minute, you could see what they were supposed to have said. Let's just look at the Netziv first. The Netziv has actually got a sort of middle mahalach, not like Rashi. He was Nimlach Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, send if you want to send. And not like the Ramban, who says that it was perfectly acceptable for them to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why shouldn't you send ahead? Don't rely on an ace to Ishtadlus. And the mistake was that the Meraglim actually brought back a Dibarah, which they should never pass that judgment. Then Siv goes in a middle way. Then Siv says that really, Klal Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim, were on an incredibly high madriga. They were living in the Midbar in a situation where they were seeing multiple Nisim every single day. Their entire existence was a completely alpinase. Their food, the Anani HaKavod. If you look at the Midrash, it describes the incredible Nissan that took place every day in the Anani HaKavod. The way their clothes were clean, they grew with them. They could just sit down anywhere they wanted, and they were supported by the Anani HaKavod. The way they, when they traveled, it smoothed out the land for them. They lived with incredible Nissan. People living on that level of Nes should be able to accept the Ribbono Shel Olam's havtacha that you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a good place. There's everything that's positive that there is in any of the Arotzes in the rest of the world. You've got an Eretz Yisrael in a much greater way. This is your land. This is your nechaz. This is your nachala. They're supposed to just go along with it and trust 100% that this Hanhog and Nisis that they're seeing all the time will carry them through. However, their chait was, once they had already gone and asked for Meragim to go, they brought themselves down from a darga where they were able to rely 100% on a Hanhog and Nisis, and they began to focus on working in the sphere of Teva. If someone has got 100% emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam, absolute bitachon, everything is 100% handled by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything that I do, any hishtadlus that I do, is purely because there's a tenai that I've got to do hishtadlus. But I'm doing absolutely nothing, and everything I see around me is really a nes. Then it's very easy for the Ribbono Shel Olam to continue carrying out nisim for that person. Where somebody lives in lives within Teva, and even when they daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, they're giving Hashem ideas about how he can sort them out with Teva, then you are now stuck in the Tanoim of Teva, and things have to work. They've got to work according to Teva. Klal Yisrael, once they had asked for Meraglim to go, it was actually perfectly legitimate for them to send Meraglim, because now they are operating on the level of Teva. They've got to behave and do the ishtadlis that's required of someone who's living at that level. So the chait was before they even began. The chait was the fact that they didn't have sufficient emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam to be able to rely on this hanhoga nisis, except the hanhoga nisis. The Ramban said you shouldn't rely on a nis. But Klal Yisrael, they were at a level where this was the way they lived. And the chait was that they allowed themselves to drop down to a level where they actually need the miraglim. Now, it's actually interesting because there's another, the Netziv Beit HaOn also says, he describes what the Meraglim were thinking. He says that obviously they had a Negias, which was actually, and we know one the Negias was they were not going to be Nesiim when they got to Eretz Yisrael, and for their own power would diminish. But then the Netziv actually says there was actually another Negias that said they felt that as far as Klal Yisrael are concerned, in the Midbar, they're living in this cocoon of Ruchnias, which is perfectly safe. As soon as they go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be living in a situation where they'll be challenged by the normal challenges that come about when you live according to Teva. They wanted to delay. They didn't want to. They didn't want. They had a very negative perception of Eretz Yisrael because they felt Klal Yisrael weren't ready to be able to undertake living in that level of Teva and maintain the level of Ruchnias. They didn't believe Klal Yisrael were able to do that. And therefore, their cheshbon that they were making, in theory, was a good cheshbon. They were doing it because they felt there was a good Ruchniastic cheshbon. I think the Maral even says that they really wanted another 40 years in the Midbar. Not as a punishment. Not that they should all die before they get there. That was what they wouldn't want. But they wanted really to have longer in order that Klal Yisrael could grow their wings while they're there in the Midbar and develop in that atmosphere of 100% Ruchnias, and that when they get to Eretz Yisrael, they'll be better prepared to be able to tackle what life is going to be like there. So this was a taina that they had, which was from a Ruchniastic point of view and a sort of a klal responsibility point of view. They had a taina, it made sense. But, it says the Tziv, that was their mistake. You can't make these cheshbonos for the Ribbono Shel Olam. If even a cheshbon, ruchniastic cheshbon, which is going keneged what the Ritzayin Hashem is, it's not going to be a helpful cheshbon to make. It's just interesting that the Tziv says that was what their cheshbon was. You can see they were focusing on the fact that Klal Yisrael are living within the sphere of complete hanhoganesis, and maybe that would have been good. Maybe Taka would have been good for Klal Yisrael to be in that situation. But Lemaisa, if we think about it, the Netziv himself says that before they even went to Eretz Yisrael, they'd already dropped down from that darga. Because when they chose the Semaraglim, they already lost that level of Ruchnias. They'd already lost that level of 100% Emunah Mitochin Ibrahim Shalom. So once they've been appointed as Meraglim, that role was already a necessary role. You go to Yisrael, find out what it is. But clearly, the fact that they've been appointed as Meraglim proved that they already lost whatever it was, that level. They weren't at that level of 100% trust in Ribbono Shel Olam, which would have been perhaps a positive setting to be in for many more years. We can't have more faith. We have sort of less faith in ourselves than Ribbono Shel Olam has within us. When we say Moedani Lefanech, we say Rabba Munasecha. There's a few different Mahalchim Rabba Munasecha. The Sefer Chassidim says that it's Rabba Munasecha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emunah in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us sometimes more than we believe. When we get up in the morning, you say, I need to start my day and try to live up to the faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're actually capable of, and we have to try and do that. One of the worries they had was that when they get to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu won't be there. They knew he wasn't going to go into Eretz Yisrael because the elder, the Medad, had already been misnabed, even though the story of the rock hadn't happened yet. They didn't want to be in Eretz Yisrael on their own without the spiritual protection of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, that's actually interesting. The Yud was given to Yehoshua from Sarai. Now, what was the difference between Sarai and Sarah? Those two phases, which are called Sarai and which are called Sarah. The Das Kanim says that when she was called Sarai, that was a stage in her life where she was being Megayer, all the Giyaris there at the time. In order to be able to be the Makariv and bring all these women into Geyrus, she had to have perfected herself 100% in order to be able to be a Mashpia on others. Moshe Rabbeinu took that Yud from Sarai, which was actually the Yud, which was from the period of her life where she was 100% perfect to the extent she must be on others, and he actually gave that Yud to Yehoshua, which was which would be the protection for him to be able to be, for him to be 100% secure in his own ruchnias and be able to mashpia on others. The Alter Mnal of Gates of Yeshiva, Lezer Khan, he asks a very simple kasha, a very famous kasha. Many ask the kasha. Rashi says, "Lo manismecha parshas Meraglim to le parshas Miriam lefisha loksal iske diba she dibra ba'achel or rishon malalu ra'uv le'lakhu musa." Miriam got saras because she spoke lashon hara. They should have taken a lesson from that. So he asked a very simple kasha. Miriam spoke lashon hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no legitimate reason why she should have spoken Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. However, the Meraglim have actually been asked, they've been told, tell us some Lashon Hara to Eretz. They could have had a very simple judgment that of course she got punished because she spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu with no reason at all. They spoke Lashon Hara to Eretz. They were supposed to go and bring back a report. They were on mission. They were even asked to say this Lashon Hara. How can you blame them for not learning from the parish of Miriam? So he says like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was mechiach Miriam and Aaron, he says, "Madua lo yirasna ledaba ba'avdi b'Moshe." How were you not frightened to speak about Avdi b'Moshe? Rashi says, "Avdi, even if he's not Moshe, Moshe, even if he's not Avdi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Miriam and Aaron that even though you have this taina that haloi gambonu dibar, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us as well, and we are able to remain married, even though we have nivuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is Moshe Rabbeinu separating? So they believed from their own perception, their own understanding, their own view of Moshe Rabbeinu, they believe it's probably gaiva. He believes that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to him, he can't live with his wife. But what about us? We manage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taina to Miriam was, how can you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu in that way? Don't you realize that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Ba'avdi Ba'Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu is on a far, far higher level of nevuah than you. He's on a far higher level, full stop. And therefore, the Lashon Hara that you're saying is coming from your perception, your level of understanding of who he is. Miriam was punished for speaking Lashon Hara, for making her cheshbonos sichlios. She was punished because she looked at what her own understanding was, which clearly, like Baruch said, that's a very primitive understanding of who Moshe was. And she passed judgment based on her own perception of what she understood and saw. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taina to the Meraglim is, you saw Miriam was punished for passing her own judgment based on her own perception of things. The Meraglim ought to have learned from Miriam that when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they can't look at what their own perception of what the Yecheles of the Ribbono Shalom is. They've got to trust 100% that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates completely outside of our understanding of what could work in Teva. That was the mistake. So what were they supposed to learn from Miriam? They're supposed to learn that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something, or there's something, particularly in Ruchnius, which you're looking at, don't pass judgment based on your own understanding. That's what Miriam did about Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was a mistake in the Meraglim. They passed judgment on Eretz Yisrael based on their own understanding of this is much too difficult. We're not going to be able to do this. Now, there's the response that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Yeshua and Kalev had to the rest of Meraglim was, didn't dispute the story. Their response was that, on the contrary, you know, we say, Ezri Me'im Hashem, Oisei Shemayim Va'aretz, the gadlus of the Ribbono Shelam is sometimes much easier to see when the challenge is much greater. If you're looking at Ezri Me'im Hashem, if I'm looking for help from the Ribbono Shelam, I prefer to focus on the fact that Shbrochus Oisei Shemayim Va'aretz, Yesh Me'ayin, there's nothing within Teva that I could see at the moment which would limit the Ribbono Shelam's capacity to be able to help me. We sometimes look around and we see that we need a certain Yeshua, so in our own mind we sort of work out for the Ribbono Shelam how, according to Teva, he could work it out. We might even be careful not to ask for too much. We don't want to overtax him and make it too difficult. If someone's got 100% in Mudin Ribbono Shelam, then they know that Shbrochus completely unlimited, and therefore don't try to sort of cramp the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yecheles to help, which is a Kol Yachol, which is completely unlimited, into our limited understanding of what Hashem is able to do. So this was the mistake they made. It says, Re'isem is Oretz Mahi, and the famous Tzushtal to Re'isem Oysoi was Zachartem. The end of the parasha of Tzitzis, you're supposed to look at the Tzitzis. You're supposed to see it, and it's supposed to remind you of the Ribbono Shelam. It's supposed to remind you of the Rakia, which the looking at the tzitzis. You're supposed to look at them and see, oh, I need to look at them with proper introspection and think there's something deeper than this. The two Re'isems were supposed to be done the same way. You're supposed to look at it and understand that there's more to what you're seeing than that which meets the eye. The Meraglim was supposed to do the same Re'isem. They were supposed to look and they were supposed to understand that even though the challenge looked enormous, it looked impossible, they were still supposed to be able to understand that if they're being sent on this mission, this HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised them that it is the Eretz Zavos Chalav Dvash, which is 100% positive. They shouldn't have applied their own perception to that, and which was obviously with their own negias, which perhaps they weren't aware of, and that they were supposed to somehow be able to come back and give a good report about what they've seen, despite the challenges that are there. But the reason why they will have seen something different is itself a problem, because you will only see, as we said, we know that normally you'd say the eye is roya, then the lev is chemitz. Why does it say v'leisura achrei levavchem? It should be the other way around, right? First the eye sees it, then one desires it. So we know pshat is that you only see what you actually want to see, which means if you are in a position where you are focused on a particular thing, or that something has come into your awareness, you will begin to notice that thing more and more. Or if you have a certain interest, or you have a certain belief, you will always see things which fit in with that interest or that belief. You'll begin to notice those things. So like you buy a new car, you will suddenly notice that car all over the place. As soon as you get used to seeing something, as soon as you are aware of something, you begin to see it again and again. The great mistake that they made was that their negias meant that they actually saw things differently. You've got to... Didn't have time. I'll move on different. There's a very, very famous story. I heard it from Shlomo Miller, this woman is driving her husband crazy. They live in a flat in Eretz Yisrael, and she looks through her window and she sees her neighbor's washing looks completely, you know, looks the shirts always look dirty, and she's very upset. Like the famous story, and that's it. Yeah, she believes one day she sees it all clean. She believes that obviously they've got a new washing machine, but it's not. She cleaned her own window. Yeah, very famous story. The person when they often the window that we're looking through, right, or our perception is clouded by what we've seen. Yeshua and Kolev's response was, to the contrary, the fact that it is so, that it looks, the task looks so frightening, looks so impossible, tells us that we're actually set to see enormous nisim. And the excitement that there should be over here is, no, on the contrary, all the bad things that you've seen are a reason why we will see, we will see incredible nisim. I just want to jump to Tzolofchad. There's a beautiful mahalach in understanding the parasha of Tzolofchad, the Mekoshesh Eitzim. There's a Medrash Pliya, says as follows. It says, Shaul was Rebbe, Mekoshesh Mihoya. They asked Rebbe, who was the Mekoshesh Eitzim? So, Omar Lahem, Ma Asa. Rebbe asked them, what did he do? So, Omru Loi, they said to him, Toilesh Hoya. He was Toilesh. He broke the branches off. So, Omar Lahem, Mekoshesh Zed Tzolofchad. He said, the Mekoshesh was Tzolofchad. So, why did he need to ask them what they did? What he did, and then when they answered that it was Toilish, he was able to say it's Tzolofchad. So, very quickly, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Sadi Vavam Beis, where we see the Gemara asked there, discusses who the Mekoshesh was, and Rabbi Kiva said who the Mekoshesh was, and they said that Kshbaruch was Megalit, how could you be Megalit? But how do we know who the Mekoshesh was? It says, the Bnois Tzolofchad said, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, our father died in the Midbar. The word Midbar is zugestellt to the word Midbar over here, that they didn't need to say that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar at the time. The word Midbar is learned across the other word Midbar, and we know that just like the story of the Bnois Tzolofchad that we know was Tzolofchad, so too the story in the Midbar over here was with Tzolofchad. Where does the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Vav Amud Beis talks about what is the din of a midbar? A midbar is either a Kamaris or it's just Rabbim's Machlokes. Yeah, there's two brises steering. The brises, one brise says a midbar is a Kamaris, one brise says a midbar is a Rishus Rabbim. And for the Gemara, when is a midbar a Rishus Rabbim? When Klal Yisrael are there. That's when a midbar is a Rishus Rabbim. So now, What the Avera Tzolofchad did was it that he was married Dalad Amos Mishus Rabbim? Did he carry the sticks for Dalad Amos in Rishus Rabbim? Or was it the Islam Shabbos did that he broke the sticks off? He was Toilish. If it was Toilish, then let's talk about the first. The Avera that he did, right? There's two options. Either Avera was Toilish, or Avera was Marv Dalad Amos, which is Sarabim. So let's look at this. I was wondering, if the Avera he did was Toilish, that he was actually Toilish, that he broke off the tree, then it's nothing to do with Klal Yisrael being in the Midbar, which is then Rishus Sarabim. If the Avera was that he was carried Dalad Amos, which is Sarabim, then Klal Yisrael being in the Midbar makes it into Rishus Sarabim. By being Rishus Sarabim, there's an Issa. So only if Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. So then I need the word Midbar over there. We talked about Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. I need to write that they were in the Midbar, because by saying that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, that makes it into Rishus Rabbim. By making Rishus Rabbim, there's an Issa of Bimar V'dal Adam with Rishus Rabbim. If that is the Vot, so we know that he was Mar V'dal Adam with Rishus Rabbim, while Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, we know that the Issa that he's done, the Issa of Bimar V'dal Adamus, we know that Issa, okay, we could shtel to the Midbar, that word Midbar over there, if I'm using the word Midbar, so to speak, to be able to learn that to Tzolofchad, then I can see why I need to have the word Midbar. Why do you need to have the word Midbar? I need to have the word Midbar, Talmud Shas Rabbim. Then I could see also that there was significance in the fact that I was in the Midbar. Then we know that the reason why the B'nai Tzolofchad also, he said, I've been made some Midbar. But the reason why he wanted to know if it was Toilish or not was because the Aver that Tzolofchad did was Aver Shem Shemaim. The reason why he did it was because he knew that everyone's going to die in the Midbar. So Klal Yisrael, that he was worried, Klal Yisrael was going to say, because everyone's going to die in the Midbar, there's no Chiyuv to keep mitzvahs anymore. if there's no chiyuv to your mitzvahs anymore, then Salafcha was worried that they would think there's no chiyuv to your mitzvahs anymore, and therefore he did this aver l'shem shemayim to show to them that there's all that all his surim still stand. If that's the case, then the issa that he did was an issa they did l'shem shemayim. So the first thing that Rebbe wants to clarify is what did they do. Was it marvid al damas? Then that's the reason why it says midbar. Why does it say midbar? It says midbar. Tell you that kaddish in the rishus rabbim, and that was the issa. But if it wasn't marvid al damas, then why does it say midbar? Oh, it says midbar to tell you that he was doing it l'shem shemayim, and if he's doing it l'shem shemayim, there's no problem with him being with Rebbe bin Megala. That was salafchot. It was mitzvah l'shem shemayim. There's nothing wrong with salafchot. At least didn't have intention to do anything wrong. So as soon as they answered him that the issa was toilish, then the word midbar tells me something else. It doesn't tell me that it's because Klal Yisrael in the midbar, therefore that it's a dangerous rabbim. The word midbar, he comes to tell me that no, he did it to protect them from these isurim while they're in the midbar because the new perception that they had. Good Shabbos.